It's Marketplace Tech for July 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Strange to say it, but Microsoft could be considered countercultural in the world of big tech right now. Today's example, the global release of an operating system, Windows 10, that is supposed to work seamlessly across all kinds of devices. Today's early adopters may be the judges of whether it works. In the meantime, we called up the VP of Microsoft's operating systems group, Joe Belfiore, to chat. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Why is Microsoft launching a single operating system that works across PCs, tablets, and smartphones?
Well, one of the things that we're excited about is a lot of the new devices that let people be more productive by transforming their PC into a phone or a tablet. And so we've built Windows 10 to be able to morph itself. We call this continuum. If you have a device that has a keyboard, you might remove the keyboard and start using it like a tablet.
I would guess that you would argue that Continuum is pretty unique.
Yeah, I definitely think so. So far, we've seen Apple and Google display a philosophy which says that phones and things that you touch are small screen devices and you don't ever do serious work with them. And we think that restriction is just completely artificial.
What is difficult for building an operating system that works like this?
If you look at Windows Phone operating system, it was focused on phones and touch. And then we came out with Windows 8 a few years ago, which interestingly got pretty good reception from people with touch devices. But people on traditional mouse and keyboard kind of PCs didn't like it quite as much. And so Windows 10 has been an opportunity for us to learn lessons from all of those kinds of devices and bring an experience that transforms itself so it's easy to use and it optimizes for the thing you're doing at the time you're doing it.
You've already got 5 million people testing the product, but what are you losing sleep over this week?
Probably the thing that makes me lose sleep more than anything is, you know, stuff that we just haven't seen yet. And if there's really significant enthusiasm and people jump on it quickly, then will there be so many people doing it that it overwhelms our ability to keep track of how things are going.
Joe Belfiore is Corporate Vice President of the Operating Systems Group at Microsoft. Joe, good luck.
Thank you.
This operating system rollout is far from a guaranteed success. We asked our Twitter followers this week if any were planning to update to Windows 10. A listener in Chicago said he was still using XP. Yes, the company's operating system released back in 2001. This week, Motorola let loose a new set of smartphones, including the Moto X Style and Play, as well as the Moto G. Add them to an endless list of pocket computers that all kind of do the same amazing stuff. But Motorola wants to sell these computers unlocked right to you and me. Why? Here's Julie Osk at Forrester.
If you are the handset manufacturer and you don't feel that you're getting the deal that you want from the carriers, it can be a good idea to go direct to consumers and brand your own phones.
In Motorola's case, the company probably wants to sell more phones in a market that is pretty darn saturated. It's not a new idea either. In the early days of cell phones, you bought the phone before the plan. Then companies found it easier to make you buy the phone as part of the plan. Now, bringing your own device is gaining traction again, but Osk says Motorola's new unlocked devices aren't necessarily going to sweep the nation.
The other thing that comes into play here is now consumers have a more complicated situation. Now I've bought a phone, now I have to go find a carrier.
Julie Osk at Forrester there. Motorola's new phones, by the way, cost around $400. The service on that phone, yep, that's extra. If you want to find the technological energy-sucking culprits in your house, look no further than the laundry room. Clothes dryers in the U.S. are estimated to use as much energy annually as the entire state of Massachusetts. Enter the Department of Energy's project to create more efficient home appliances. Any progress? Well, actually, yes. Emily Siner from member station WPLN in Nashville reports.
Ayub Momin is a staff scientist at Oak Ridge National Laboratory and, like most Americans, owns a dryer.
But I hate using it.
Momin knows today's dryers are energy hogs, and he says it takes so long to dry anything. So one day, he was thinking about ultrasonic humidifiers. You know those things you put in a room to add moisture? They use high-frequency vibrations to turn water into steam without getting hot. And Momin thought, what if I use the same technology on a piece of wet fabric?
The results was so amazing. It was like mind-blowing. In less than 14 seconds, I could dry a piece of fabric from completely being wet. If I wanted to do the same thing with heat, it's taking like somewhere between 20 to 40 minutes.
Momin's current prototype looks nothing like a conventional dryer. It's basically a small circle of metal called a transducer that he plugs into a battery. He then douses a small piece of fabric in water and places it on top. The fabric sizzles and steams, and then sure enough, in a few seconds, it's dry. Momin says it used barely any energy.
This dryer technology has potential to save somewhere about like 1% of the overall energy consumption of the United States.
So yes, it will be a big breakthrough if the technology works.
Venkat Venkatakrishnan is the Director of Research and Development at GE Appliances. The company has partnered with Oak Ridge to put the ultrasonic dryer on the market. The lab still has to test this technology and bigger batches of clothes, but he says,
I think we are about 4 years away from you being able to buy this dryer in a Home Depot or a Lowe's or any appliance retailer.
No word yet on how much they'll cost, or if people will run out to buy what could be an expensive purchase. Still, he thinks consumers will be willing to pay more to dry their clothes much faster. And, of course, they'll save money on the electricity bill. In Nashville, I'm Emily Seiner from Marketplace.
More from us, as always, at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.